Today, May 14, 2021, this is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means betting on the Hunger Games. Well, not actually betting on the Hunger Games, but I remember when the Hunger Games was first released in theater and seeing the odd screen for the Hunger Games coming up on this, coming up on the silver screen and thinking, huh, I like that. I know what that means. I'm not sure if everybody in the audience knows what that is, but I do, and I appreciate it. That's just one of the things that Mark Duvall and I are going to talk about on this week's slightly shorter episode of Better Viewing. We've been doing quite a few of these recently when you think of the types of episodes that have come out recently in the feed, just with a couple weeks off and then having to postpone a week. It just happened with the pacing that Mark and I do this, that I think three of the last like six or something like that are these Better Viewing episodes, but we enjoy doing them. This one's a little shorter. We touch on Ted Lasso, The Office, Hunger Games, and even talk documentaries and reality television. Enjoy. Hello, sir.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going very well. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
So, update from the last time I did a live stream about two weeks ago. I'm on a different machine.
Good.
Which is good. The whole computer froze.
You were gone. I mean, yeah. You were gone.
My computer was like, you know what? We've had a day. We're done working. And then, and with that particular computer, I knew that rebooting, signing back in was just going to take way too long to get back. I have a new machine that I'm working on. Different internet this time, but I think we'll be okay internet bandwidth wise. But I'm confident that my computer at the very least won't be the problem this time. Mark, how are you? I mean, how's the Derby? Did you guys have Spirit? You guys didn't have a Medina Spirit, did you?
We didn't bet on the Derby. We made some predictions, but about a year ago, I don't know if it was that, I at least decided I wasn't going to bet on horse racing anymore. It just wasn't my thing. I have some issues with it. And then after what happened this last week, I've got even more issues with it. So we made some picks. I think my horse was Soup and Sandwich, I think was the name of the horse. And Mike did have, what was that? Good Luck Charlie, or I can't remember the name of it. The one that came in third, the one that showed. He had that on the list, but we didn't actually put any money down.
Okay. I also didn't have any money down. Nothing on the Derby. Probably for similar and also other different reasons. I also have kind of got, like, I've never really been into horse racing. Yeah. The Derby was just sort of this thing like, oh yeah, it's fun, we'll do this. Like, I would go to Derby parties, right? And like, be fun to have some action. But in the past, even just the past few years, I found myself like, I may not watch it. I may not even end up in front of a screen to watch it. And the only reason, and there's been a couple years, like the only reason I would watch it is if I put action on it. So, I have found myself not really getting into the Derby as of late as well.
And, you know, my first venture into legal gambling was through the horses, because here in California, you can be 18 and go to the horse track. Of course, this was before there were any kind of casinos, tribal or otherwise out here. But we had Del Mar, the racetrack. So I went quite a bit when I was 18 years old. And even before that, one of my very first gambling experiences was having my uncle and cousin take me to the track, and I was fascinated by it. So
yeah,
I've kind of fallen out of love with it. And this latest scandal infuriates me, just really makes me angry. So
let's start with documentaries. This was something that came to mind. I was like, I don't want to talk about documentaries, but I do think it'd be interesting to talk about ones we either recommend or ones we like to have seen made. Now you mentioned in our pre-production that you don't have any documentaries that you would recommend, like,
no,
around gambling.
Yeah, I really haven't seen that many. The only one I would bring up, and I have not seen it, is Holy Rollers, the documentary about the Christians who, you know, card counted and won in blackjack. But beyond that, I really don't know of any document. I mean, I could look it up, obviously, and see that I'm sure there are a ton of them out there, but there are none that have really stuck out in my mind.
There's one called the two things that I'll recommend that fit this sort of documentary. This one's technically a podcast, but I think everybody recognizes the name 30 for 30 because of the documentaries that they do. 30 for 30 also has a podcast. There is a 30 for 30 called A Queen of Sorts, and it is about Phil Ivey and his partner who did edge sorting. Yeah. To win a bunch of money in Baccarat. I would recommend finding that episode. And then for an act for a document, it's more of a docu-series, but the show Action that was on Primetime.
Right.
What was it on? It was on Showtime. Amazon. Showtime. There we go. Thank you. And that's a 4-part series about sports betting. That was very well done as well. So those are the things that I would recommend. Now, you did say you had some things you may want to see covered in a documentary. What do you have there?
For whatever reason, I am fascinated by gambling documentaries that deal with cheating or addiction. And I don't know, I'm just fascinated by it. There's an episode of American Greed that follows the Tran organization. They cheated at blackjack, and it's fascinating to me. It really is, you know, the depths that they go to and the technology behind it and everything. There's a well-known cheater, and I'm sorry I don't know his name. I know he's been on Gambling with an Edge once, kind of controversially on Gambling with an Edge, because he is a cheater. You know, who talked about this move that he made at the roulette table. People might be familiar with past posting. That's when you put a bet onto a bet that's already won. You add to it. And he came up with this just brilliant scheme where he would make a huge bet before the spin. And if it was a loser, he'd remove the big chip. So that if it was a winner and they go to the camera, it's like, oh, yeah, the chip was there the whole time. This is a legitimate bet. And I was fascinated by that. So for whatever reason, documentaries on cheating, documentaries on addiction, because I don't know, there's something, the addiction kind of gets to me too. Like we were talking about with Owning Mahoney, right? You know, it's hard to watch, but we also, you know, wow, what a great movie. And I'm kind of the same way. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I'm not addicted to that. Look at these people. It's just fascinating to me. And there, you can relate to some of it. Yes. I mean, you can't be a gambler and not relate to some of these addictive qualities. So yeah, those are things I like.
Yeah. I think anybody who has a vice can definitely sympathize with people who suffer from that addiction to that vice.
Yeah. Well right? said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that if you drink, I think you can understand how people have a problem with it. Right. It'd be like, sure. Yeah, I could see how if I wasn't careful, they could turn into that. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree. Two things that I would like to see documentaries done and whatever the appropriate length would be to cover the story, the McGregor Mayweather fights.
Oh.
and how all of that money came in on McGregor and made Mayweather this -400 favorite at some point, which was stupid low considering the probability of him winning that match.
Oh yeah.
Or that fight. And I'd love to see even just a, you know, a 10-15 minute documentary just talking to bookmakers all around Vegas, and maybe even talking if there's any information from like offshores and stuff, just about all of that money that came in on McGregor, almost forcing them to bring that number down and then take all of those larger bets from like the bigger bettors. And I think that story would be interesting. And then there's a book about this. It's called Gaming the Game, I think, but it's about the Tim Donahue cheating scandal. He was a NBA referee who was calling fouls. He literally was following the rules, but doing it to such a T that he could really manipulate the way that the game was being played. And he did it so that way, syndicates could benefit. Right. So, I think that would be, there's a book on it. The book I think it's a good read. It's a dense read. I think that if you're not really into it, it's kind of difficult to get into it. But a documentary I think would be really appropriate there.
Since you're speaking about books too, that reminded me, there's a book called The Eudaimonic Pie, which is the story of the guys who created computers to figure out roulette wheels. You know, the devices in their shoes and computers. And this was, I believe, back in the 70s before they had a lot of sophisticated computers that they could use. They had to, you know, make them from hand. And they would track, you know, the ball going around and spin and determine sections of the wheel where the ball was likely to fall. And it's a pretty fascinating story, even though at least in that book, they didn't really have a lot of success with it ultimately, but just the sort of the science behind it and going through with it and, you know, the nervousness of going into the casino all strapped up and, you know, will this work? That'd be a good story too for a doc.
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought about this. I was taking a little jog, and I was thinking, like, I was thinking about talking points because I knew it was going to be a small sample size of scenes to cover, and I was like, what are some talking points we can go over? And I thought, reality television is really interesting. We've seen some really interesting themes and subjects and plot lines, whatever, in reality television. And I really tried to think, like, what made me think this was a good talking point. I don't know if you've seen this, Mark, but there was a pilot, or at least a small, like a short done of Michael Shackelford, who took a couple college kids or whatever and was going to attempt to help them gamble in the casino to help them raise money for like a TV or something like that. I might be butchering exactly what the circumstances were, but the idea was Michael Shackelford, gambling pro, knows the casino well enough. He got like, okay, you have this much money. This is your goal. Let's figure out how we can, let's find somewhere in the casino to possibly get you. Of course, you know, nothing, it wasn't guaranteed. And I think that like they ended up trying to go for like some bigger paying bets and craps or something like that. It didn't work out. But I remember thinking, has gambling really ever had any sort of reality show or any sort of in like a really something that isn't just a in the life or a documentary, but something that has almost like a game to it? Can you think of anything?
Not specifically. There have been documentary series, at least, dealing with casinos, hotel casinos, you know, the day-to-day and the, you know, the staff and, you know, customers, things like that. But actual gaming, I can't really think of it. It depends on what you mean by reality TV. Now, for a very short period, they had, I think it might have been called the World Series of Blackjack, or there was some blackjack show that was trying to cash in on the popularity of poker when poker was blowing up on TV. And again, I don't know.
It was a blackjack tournament, wasn't it? Wasn't it just like an aired blackjack tournament?
Right. Yeah, it was like an aired blackjack tournament. And so I guess the answer to the question is no. And then sort of moving on to talk about reality TV, what are you thinking? Are you thinking in terms of like the Michael Shackelford thing that you mentioned, which I have not seen, where it's really kind of real life? In other words, this is what he's going to do. The cameras are going to follow, or something that's set up like it's a reality show and the contestants have to compete in. First, they go to a blackjack table, then a craps table, where it's more, you know, structured. It's not really real life. It's, you know, sort of manipulative reality TV, which a lot of reality TV is.
So I think when I started thinking about it on what I would want to see, I started thinking the latter. So the first of the, I have two, and like, I haven't like processed or developed these, right? So there's probably gaps in how entertaining or if this was even feasible. The first one, get a group of self-proclaimed advantage players, let them live in a casino, and let them play in the casino to their heart's content or whatever, and see like who lasts the longest, see what angles they play. They're allowed to take advantage of whatever marketing is available to any normal player, and maybe like at the end of a day or end of a week, whoever like lost, or you know, there'd be some sort of like, you know, like kick them off the island type thing at the end. But I was thinking like it'd be interesting to see the process, the mindset of if you gamify AP play past just trying to get an edge, but also trying to get an edge within the game theory of outlasting other APs.
Yeah. As you were mentioning that, I did think of a show that was out maybe 10, 15 years ago. I tried to look it up right here. I couldn't find the name of it, but it was these young poker players. I mean, they were like five or six of them who moved to Las Vegas, rented a house, and their goal was to win like $1 million in 30 days or something of that, playing poker, mostly online. So I don't know that they necessarily had to go to Vegas, but you know, that was part of the premise of the show. And of course they did not make the $1 million, but that was it. It was a reality show. It was these guys, you know, grinding it out. You'd see them with the big screens, you know, playing multiple games, and then they'd go out to clubs and they'd meet some of the pros that lived in Las Vegas. Yeah, that's probably the closest thing that I've seen, that kind of what you're talking about, almost like APs getting together and battling out, because it wasn't staged. I mean, you know, all reality shows are staged, but I mean, their results weren't. They were playing real online poker.
Okay. By the way, Tim Kenny recommends, clicked the wrong con. There we go. Inside the Edge, a professional blackjack adventure, apparently on Amazon Prime. So thank you for that recommendation, Tim. I want to check that out.
Good.
The other reality television concept I have, almost like a Beauty and the Geek. I don't know if you remember that reality show where a bunch of like models were trying to teach geeks and vice versa, like something about their realm.
Yeah.
Anyway, so take regular gamblers, pair them with people who have no idea how to gamble, and the gamblers get like a day to try to teach the non-gamblers how to play the game, how to best play it, like try to teach them the rules, the you know, like in blackjack, you would try to teach them basic strategy, you know, don't take insurance, all this sort of stuff. And then at the end, put them at the table and see how well they do. That is very much something that would really only appeal to gamblers. The audience appeal on that's very limited, but I do think gamblers would find it entertaining.
Yeah, see, that would be the real problem, is how can you make it appealing to a broad audience? Obviously, we could come up with shows that we'd watch, but you know, what element, what twists would they have to add to make it, you know, appealing to everybody, where, you know, you don't have to know the rules of blackjack or even appreciate going into a casino? Yeah, that'd be the real kick.
Who needs reality television, though, when if you could just get a webcam that just streamed Dr. Mike at a craps table, right?
That would work. Yeah, I thought about that. I should ask the casino, see if I can just set up my phone there. I should just record him on a come out roll, just all the bets that he makes.
If the casino would allow you to do it for just one come out roll, I think the audience would really enjoy actually seeing, because some of us that have got an opportunity to gamble with you guys, we've seen it. It is like we've mentioned, it's like a dance with the dealers almost on like how he gets everything out there. I think a lot of the listeners that maybe haven't gotten to see that would be really interested in seeing how he worked that.
Fun, maybe edit it down so it's actually taking longer than real time, so you know what you can hear him saying the bets, see exactly what the dealers are doing, see what happens when he wins and wants to parlay or press or whatever. Hey, we got a show.
Except there it is. Let's market it. Think Netflix would be interested. Do you have any what about you? Do you have any reality television ideas? I know I threw this to you yesterday, and I didn't expect you to develop something quickly, but
no, you know, I was thinking actually almost like a game show where every episode it's new contestants, and maybe they have to go through a series of different type of gambling games. Maybe not every episode is the same, but you know, maybe one episode it's craps and poker, another episode it's blackjack or sports betting or something like that. And yeah, that, you know, whoever comes out with the biggest win or the smallest loss wins for that week. Then I thought, well, maybe what about something that would go over several weeks? Oh gosh, yeah, I don't know. I was thinking of maybe pairs of people, only because I think pairs are a little more interesting in reality TV.
Sure.
And they have a certain bankroll at the beginning, and they have to decide how they're going to bet. And through the structure of the show, there are limits to what they can bet on and dollar amounts, the things they can't, you know, in a casino. I don't know. I haven't fleshed it out, but maybe something like that, where every week, you know, they go through this. And then at the end, they have like a tribal council with, you know, okay, team A, what did you do? And what were your results? And, you know, you chastise them or you congratulate them or whatever.
There's a fun event for a meetup. Start at the Strat. And everybody, and you have to go through and you have to gamble, and you can only move on until you've somehow got, like, until you've like won 20% or you're up 20% than when you came in. That's the only way you can advance to like the next, not the strat. I don't know why I chose the strat, because that's like
because the end of the strip. You're thinking they're going to go the whole distance of the strip.
They're not going to do that. People are going to be, everybody's bankroll is going to be done by the third casino. But it would be interesting to be like, okay, you go in there, gamble on whatever you want, but you can't advance to the next casino until you're up 20% than what you started, right? And for some people, it'd be right away, right? First thing, the boom, yeah, move on. To the, yeah.
The only problem is, you know what happens when you got a group of people and nobody does, right? Everybody loses. Hey, it's going to happen.
It is going to happen. But you know what? We're all gamblers. And we all accept that. And we'd be like, okay, well, now we just gamble for fun.
That's part of it. Well, you're the Emmy winner, so you come up with something and we'll run with it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was nice of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of award-winning performances, let's get into just the three productions here that we're going to pull scenes from. The first one is going to be The Hunger Games. And the reason I wanted to point this out, this is the perfect episode to do on it, because there's nothing really to discuss here other than it was a really nice touch that, like, because that's the reality, right? They would be betting on this, right? The capital would be betting on the Hunger Games. And I thought it was, I'm glad if it wasn't in there, it wouldn't have seemed like an oversight, but it was a really good detail that they included it.
Yeah.
It's around, I didn't get the time marker, but it's while the tributes are preparing for, they're like training and preparing for it. And like, they're being observed by possible sponsors and stuff. And a lot of like the cutaways and the transitions, show like them getting scores and stuff like that. And there's one where they show odds being, fluctuated. If anybody goes to, Twitter, if you see my response to the last tweet that I did, I have PTSD on wanting to like share something on this stream right now since that seemed to completely so I'm not going to this time, but if anybody's curious what that looked like, look at the screenshot from the tweet that I just responded to advertising this stream. But the odds range from like I think the shortest odds honestly is only 5-1, which I guess since there's, 24 tributes, I mean, I guess you can't have too short of an odds because, people are going to die. But the longest odds was only, I think, 60-1, and that was Rue, who was the little child, the little girl who was in there. And it seems like most people are anywhere from 7 to 12-1. But here's where I thought was, I know, I'm pretty sure it's because they're from Districts 12. I'm sure their reputation precedes them. But PETA and Katniss are 23-1 a piece.
Yeah. I saw The Hunger Games once when it came out. So I've forgotten a lot about it,
sure.
But I'm glad you posted the odds board only because, it's great. It's very professional. You know, it's not some haphazard thing. It's right. We do bet on this. We bet on life and death here. This is our society. Yeah.
So my question to you, would you bet on this? If for some reason there was even if let's say it's not a government driven thing, let's say that there's 24 humans that all decide that they're going to go into this battle royale fight to the death. If that was a real event, would you be able to bring yourself to bet on it?
Well, okay. Me in this world, my personality. Yep. No, hey, I told you I don't bet on horse racing anymore, so I'm certainly not going to bet on this. Now, you know, who knows if I grew up in this reality and that's part of the world, and you know, nobody's really complaining about it. I don't know, but yeah, if you're just asking me, Mark DeVault, today, absolutely not.
Okay. I think if this was our world, but the same circumstances, no way. Keep me out of that. If it was like some, gladiator, all 20, I saw them all raise their hand and admit consent to what they're about to enter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And volunteer. I think I would at least watch it through the lens of the, like, I wouldn't be able to bring myself to not know what was the odds were. I don't know if I would be able to bet on it, but I would at least like pay attention, like, oh, okay, the guy that was like 40 to 1 still in this. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I'd pay attention, sure. Hey, I paid attention to the Kentucky Derby.
Sure.
I just didn't bet on it.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to The Office. Now, this is one of my favorite scenes from The Office that deals with gambling. It's in episode 8 of season 4, I believe. It's Money Part 1. We start learning that Michael Scott's having some money problems, and he walks up to Kevin and asks Kevin, like, "Hey, you like bet the ponies, right?" That's how he like introduces it. Like, you bet the ponies, right? And Kevin like admits that, yeah, I do gamble, Michael. And Michael says he's looking to get into some gambling himself and thinking about maybe just doubling it and then doubling it again and doubling several more times. And it's such a perfect square. Like, yeah, I'm just going to double up a handful of times.
Here's what I'm looking to do, and maybe you can help me out. I want to double my money and then maybe double it several more times.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right. Kevin's just kind of, you know, looking like, okay.
He asks Kevin if Kevin knows, is familiar or aware of like a sure thing, like a boxer throwing a big fight. Wants to know, and I love this, who would I call about that? Like,
about a boxer who's so desperate he needs to throw a fight. Yeah, who do I call?
Kevin informs him under a whisper that it's the mob that he's looking for, and then Michael's very disappointed to learn that Kevin does not know anybody in the mob. He's so upset that Kevin doesn't know anybody. Yeah. So the questions I have for you here, have you ever had a coworker like approach you and like verify or confirm that you're a gambler? Like, hey, you're a gambler, right? Are you? Has it ever happened to you?
No, not exactly. I think in some cases, a coworker has approached me and says, "Oh, I heard you were talking about poker. Do you play poker?" Mm. "Oh, yeah, we've got a home game. Oh, I'd like to come sometime." That kind of thing, you know, like, "Oh, I play poker too. Do you have a regular game?" But nothing like, "Oh, you're a gambler? What should I bet on?" Nothing like that. Well, I've had people ask me that.
Sure,
but not like coworkers and strangers.
So I have had coworkers at different stages in my life ask me how they can bet on something, right?
Okay.
And this was
how
this
they
was
do it. Yeah.
Yeah. This was especially true before the PASPA repeal, right? Like, right. This was especially true because they don't understand the idea of offshore accounts or even at the, they don't even think that like, you know, I'm not going to admit to him that maybe I do or don't use a bookie, right? But like, there's what, like, oh, he gambles. I wonder how he does that, right? Like, how can I get money down? And kind of hard to tell him, yeah, you probably shouldn't. That's usually how people like verify that or have like approached me about being a gambler. They know that I bet on sports and they want to know like how they do that. Now, even just recently, though, I have had coworkers, friends, etc., be like, hey, gambling, like sports betting's legal in my state now, like how do I do this, right? Yeah. that's happened, but that's not hush, how do I bet on the boxer who's throwing the fight, and right. Very like very straightforward, this is the thing we're all allowed to do now, will you give me your professional or your advice on how to do this?
Yeah
Okay, lastly, just a half hour here today, Mark, it's a very good cruising through this.
I know.
Yeah. The wonderful show Ted Lasso.
Yes.
And I'm not going to rush through this because look, Tim Kennedy's saying happens to me a lot. I'm assuming that's in response to coworkers asking if hey, you gamble, right? Hey, which number on the roulette table pops up the most? That would be funny, wouldn't it? Ted Lasso. If no one's watched Ted Lasso, let me make a case for it real quick. Watching it now is obviously delightful, but Ted Lasso came out in the summer of 2020. Now, I don't need to remind anybody what happened during the summer of 2020, but the world, and especially America, was in disarray, to put it politely. And Ted Lasso was just this brilliant, optimistic, feel-good, while entertaining and great performances kind of a show. I mean, I've watched the first season probably 10 times now. I've watched it a couple times myself, and then I've watched it a couple times with my wife, and then it just kind of became the show that, like, oh, I'm cooking, let me throw on an episode of Ted Lasso, and I just kept on enjoying it. So, and The Office and Scrubs and Community are often this way with me as well. Ted Lasso was just the most recent, like, throw on an episode while I'm doing something. And there's very few scenes where I'm like, I don't like that scene, or I don't think that was done as well as they wanted it to. Like, I can count probably on one hand how many scenes do that for me. The series is very well done. It's the premise is that an American football coach goes over to England to coach a Premier League soccer team. I'm not going to give up I'm not going to spoil what the premise is, because it's a very good one, but you don't have to like soccer to enjoy the show.
Right.
You don't have to, and you don't have to, like, know anything about that to enjoy the show. Right. You really just have to enjoy good writing and good comedy.
Yeah.
And then also get hit in the heart a couple times.
Yeah, I agree. And when you tell somebody the premise, oh yeah, American football coach goes over to coach soccer. You know, when I first heard it, it's like, you know, what is this going to be like? I mean, what? But it does surprise you. It's a better show than a one sentence description of it would indicate. Great performance, great writing, a lot of heart, and very funny at times too. And a broad appeal. My wife loves the show. And cannot wait for the second season. She kept asking, oh, when's the next season coming out, right?
July 23rd, baby.
You know, she's not a soccer fan. She's not really a sports fan at all. But it's such an entertaining show. And so, you know, you get a lot of satisfaction out of it. So, yeah, I agree. Very good show. It is on Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
So that's where you can catch it, just FYI. But, yeah, great show.
Yes.
And then I think Jason Sudeikis, who plays Ted Lasso, was it the Golden Globe? I think he won Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Comedy Series. So, yeah.
When he won that Golden Globe, I knew Ted Lasso was here to stay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, before they even announced I was like, Ted Lasso just gave Apple TV their first major award. There's no way this show doesn't see its full potential. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Excuse me. So there's my pitch on Ted Lasso. Like Mark said, Apple TV Plus. Hunger Games, I haven't found anywhere that's actually streaming.
I couldn't either. I was going to try to watch that scene, and yeah, I couldn't find it anywhere.
It was available on Tubi TV, TUBI, for like a day.
Yeah.
Last week. And I at first thought, like, oh, Tubi has it. And then I went back the next day and it wasn't there anymore. So I must have just stumbled across the availability for something. And then The Office, no longer on Netflix, now on Peacock TV.
Yeah.
Which you can you can subscribe to Peacock there.
Well, you know, Peacock, there's a free version too of Peacock. I assume that includes The Office. So
I bet it does. I bet it does. Yeah.
There's a pay side to Peacock where you can get some of their original programming, but I think just the free service has The Office. Yeah.
Yeah. Tim Kennedy, the person who makes fun of me the most for betting on soccer. I'm telling you, Tim, you will enjoy Ted Lasso.
Yeah. And there are some times where they're making fun of soccer. I mean, you know, Ted Lasso and his partner, Coach Beard, where they're making fun of the game of soccer or the British in general, you know?
Right.
So, you know, even if you don't like soccer, you'll like it.
Yep. So there's three references to betting. There's two that are just quick lines. Ted and his boss have a little bit of a friendly disagreement, and Ted just in passing says, "I wouldn't bet on it." Just a normal thing that we say, and it made me think, I'm gonna start saying that in different ways just to confuse people. So instead of saying "I wouldn't bet on it," I'm gonna say "the chalk's too heavy on that one."
The average person's gonna know what the chalk's too heavy on that
the point being is I feel like it's too much of layman's terms. I feel like we have to take that back, Mark.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah. All right, I got you.
The next,
you know, one, well, hold on. So in scene too, the right before he delivers that line, he actually sings "The Gambler" by Kenny Rogers.
Yes. Yes. So, great point. Oh,
that comes right beforehand.
That's a great point. I totally forgot to add that.
Yeah. There's this conversation where he says that's the first concert he ever went to. And then he starts singing, you know, no
the
one
gambler
to hold
himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yes. So there we go. I think that's episode three, I want to say.
Second
two.
Episode.
Two. Yeah. Yeah, it's Biscuits. Yeah, yeah, it's the second one. Yeah. And then episode six, and this one's kind of like plays into the next one. Ted arranges a little activity for his team to try to get them to sort of like get rid of a curse they think exists and to like sort of do some team building. And his boss says to him, "I didn't take you for a gambler, Ted." And he says, "Oh, I'm not." And then explains why it wasn't the risk that it seemed it was. That's an interesting line. And if I ever got an opportunity to talk to Brandon Hunt or Jason Sudeikis, I'm going to be the only person to want to ask him this. He admits to not being a gambler. He says, "Oh, I'm not," to not being a gambler. And then two episodes later, he makes a bet. And not only does he make a bet, but like he pulls a hustle.
Yeah. Yep.
yep. So episode eight, it's called, I believe it's called Diamond Dogs. Mm-hmm. It is a very good episode. This is probably one of my favorite scenes from the entire series. Ted is they're in a pub. And his boss's ex-husband is there, and he's just needling her, just trying to upset her. The ex-husband's
kind of the villain of the show,
exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And Ted picks up a dart and throws it. The ex-husband asks if he's into darts, and Ted picks it up with his right hand, throws it, and he goes, "Huh?" And then they ended up making a wager on a dart game. If Ted wins, the ex-husband can't come anywhere near the owner's box for the rest of the season. If Ted loses, the ex-husband gets to pick up the lineup for the remaining two games of the season.
Right.
To non-sports fans, like, oh, whatever, it's just a lineup. It's a big deal in Premier League who's on the field and who's not on the field, right? So pretty significant wager to at least imagine seeing Bill Belichick wager like the starting 11 for his team with some schmuck at the bar, right? Yeah. And then the ex-husband tries to pull a hustle by pulling out a professional set of darts, thinking that he just trapped Ted into a game that he has an advantage on.
Right. Yeah. And the line is something like, "Oh, I forgot I had these." Right. That's what
he casually
doing,
has a case of a dart case with him.
Right.
And then Ted picks up a dart with his left hand. He's like, "Oh, I forgot I'm left-handed," and then throws a bullseye.
Right.
And that's a pretty classic hustle. The mislead into thinking, making your opponent think that you're weaker than you are, getting the ante or the stakes that you want, and then coming forward strong. Just saying, I think two episodes earlier saying he's not a gambler was an oversight in the writing.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably an oversight, unless he was completely lying on that previous one.
That's
yeah.
Fair.
That's a great scene. And just kind of an aside to the ex-husband, whose name is Rupert on the show. He's played by Anthony Head. I think it's pronounced Head. It might be Head, H-E-A-D. But anyway, TV fans will remember him as Giles from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the Watcher on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, also named Rupert. First name Rupert on that show.
Oh.
But that was his big role. And of course, that's a great classic show. And he's very good as the sort of the villainous ex-husband on that
show. I wonder if they need him, Rupert, as a nod to how
I wondered that too. I wondered that too. Yep.
Yeah. Naming conventions are always interesting to me. Especially when you hear a behind the scenes and you're like, "Oh, how'd you name this character?" And he's like, "I had a friend named that." Like,
right.
That guy is named after my friend. And it's like, you watch these shows like, "Oh, Jon Snow." They must have, like, how long did they come up with Jon Snow? And George R. R. Martin's probably just like, whatever. Like, my friend John was playing in a snow. And I was like, there is a name.
Right. Matt Groening's father is Homer. So that's why Homer is Homer Simpson, right? That's all it is. So
yeah. Okay, Mark, that does it for sort of what we had planned here. Much shorter than previous episodes, but as I mentioned to you in pre-production, I wanted to keep this episode a little bit smaller because I needed to prepare for future episodes, like first for ones coming up.
Yeah.
I have a couple people that you may be familiar with. Adam Chernoff is coming back at the end of the month. He has experience in game design, and he offered, and a lot of the audience said they wanted to hear from him again. So
great.
He'll be coming at the towards the end of the month. Dalton Harp, who's a follower in this community, he made a short film called Charlie.
Sure.
So he's going to come on and talk about.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, talk about just the whole process of making that, the inspiration, maybe the challenges of portraying gambling on in a movie.
Good.
And then Megan in Manhattan.
Oh, great, Megan. Yeah, she called into our last episode.
Yeah, yeah. She was on like this list of listeners of, I was like, I bet they'd be a good. And then when she called in, I was like, that's a sign. I just need to reach out to her and invite her onto the show. I think getting her perspective and sort of her journey in gambling would be fun. So that's what's coming up in the next few months. I'm excited.
Good, good. Any ideas for our next movies, TV episode?
Yeah, so I thought today, and I apologize for not messaging this to you so you can prepare. Yeah, sorry, I know. I think doing Vegas-themed movies. Okay. So a pair of Vegas movies would be good. Vegas Vacation is the easy one, right? I mean, that's...
Vegas Vacation, Honeymoon in Vegas. Again, I don't know how... Have you ever seen that with... it's with Nicolas Cage, the woman from Sex and the City. Boy, I'm blanking here. That is a very funny
Sarah Jessica
movie.
Parker. Right?
Yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker, Nicolas Cage. Yeah. That's a very funny movie.
Okay.
Let's see, other Vegas themed.
I don't want to do anything like serious, like Casino or okay, anything like that. Right. I want to do a more lighthearted movie.
So sure. Honeymoon in Vegas, why I like that is because I'm not surprised you haven't seen it. It's an older movie.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't play all that often. But yeah, I had a straight flush is what Tim is saying in the comments. That's a fantastic line in this movie. I had a straight flush. The unbeatable straight flush. And Nicolas Cage is so funny in the role. Anyway, I would really recommend that if that's available. I don't even know if we could stream it somewhere. Of course, okay. Something like Last Vegas or The Hangover, you know, some obvious ones like that that are obviously funny and real heavy on Vegas. Yeah, that's what comes to mind right now.
Okay, let's do Honeymoon in Vegas.
If we can find it, yeah.
So I'd love for you to see it. Shows that it's available on places like Apple and Amazon. It looks like, I don't think it's a part of any like streaming package, but it does look like it is available places.
Okay, all right.
And then Vegas Vacation. I'm actually kind of ashamed. I just don't have a copy of that like on DVD or something. But yeah. Also not stream. Oh, it's on Peacock. It looks like
okay.
Yeah, Peacock claims to have Vegas Vacation. So we'll do those. We'll do Vegas Vacation and Honeymoon in Vegas for our next set of this.
Right. Are good. Yeah. Good choices. Good, good.
Very good. I thought we needed to put a little Vegas in the mix on watching this stuff. Yeah.
Great.
And then, Mark, I'll be super proactive, and I'll actually start getting some more scenes from television under my belt before that episode. So that way, when we do that episode, I have a better idea of what we're actually going to be talking about the following one. You see, you like
great.
That?
Huh? I love it.
Tim's saying he likes a new logo. Thank you. I thought that it needed a little bit of spicing up. The Better Life by itself was starting to look a little too plain in the podcast world. So
yeah, it looks good.
Thank you. I think that does it, Mark. I think we did it. 47 minutes is the timestamp at the moment.
That's great. You know, nothing wrong with a short show as long as it is jam-packed with fantastic contact. So.
That's right.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, Mark, you and I will do this again in 4 weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tim. Bye.
Always fun hanging out with Mark doing these. Vegas Vacation, Honeymoon in Vegas coming up. Hope you all join us for that. I will put out the stream dates for that one as soon as Mark and I schedule something. As I mentioned, I got a few people on deck for the rest of the month. Megan Kay, Megan Manhattan, coming up next week. Hope you enjoy my interview with her. The site is back up, thebetterlife.us, back up a couple weeks where that was down. Patreon.com/thebetterlife is where you can support the show with a monthly pledge. I have some fun news here. This is one of the things that I've been working on. Look, for years, and I think Adam Bauer said it best when he said that Patreon is where content creators overpromise and underdeliver. And ever since he said that, I keep on thinking, well, I don't want to say like what I'm making, because I do want to make sure that I'm delivering something. But a few of my past ideas on how to deliver exciting content there have kind of fallen flat. I first thought, well, maybe I'll take some of the outtakes from the podcast, but I don't want to do that, right? They're outtakes for a reason. Maybe I'll try to record like bonus episodes, but I feel kind of weird about that as well. I want like good content to be in the feed. And then, you know, I say all that and finally I've come on this, this idea. We'll see how long this one lasts. But starting Monday the 17th, tax day for those of you who are last minute tax filers, you just got a couple more days. Starting on Monday, I will be producing very short episodes. We'll be releasing very short episodes. We're talking 3 to 5 minutes of just a quick gambling or casino, maybe even just casino trip related topic. I'm still fleshing this idea out. I'm still figuring out exactly what this looks long term, but I have enough short term ideas and short concept that I want to give this a go. I want to deliver something to the Patreon, to the patrons who are supporting me on Patreon. By the way, thanks to everybody who's been with me for years, supported the show. Really appreciate it. That pledge helps me do stuff like design the t-shirts and to do better stand-up, and lets me do some other things like travel and stuff like that, where it's you know, get to go to these meetups and stuff like that. So really appreciate everybody supporting over on Patreon. So it's coming. It's coming on May 17. I'm excited to be producing content in kind of a little different way. And I thought, you know, really what this comes down, like, how is this different from the ideas that you've had in the past on content that doesn't necessarily go into the main feed? You know, sometimes there are little bits and pieces of information, ideas, tips and tricks, advice, stuff like that, that really warrants just 2 or 3 minutes of, hey, this is a thing you should be aware of. This is a thing, if you're brand new to this game, this is what this is, stuff like that. That doesn't just naturally find itself in conversation. Sometimes I just think about it while I'm on a walk and I'm like, oh, it'd be good to touch on that. But you know, sometimes a month could go past before it kind of falls into conversation. So this is my way of developing those ideas and putting a little bit more content into your feed. So patreon.com/thebetterlife. And this is going to be it's going to be released for all patrons. So come in, pledge $1, pledge $5, whatever it is that you want to pledge. Anybody who's pledging on Patreon will get access to these. I'll be sure to repost how you can get these episodes coming to your phone once it's published on Patreon, so we don't have to like rely on a Patreon app or whatnot. But yep, that's coming. I'm excited. Thank you for everybody again for supporting me there. Thebetterlife.us/merch is where you can cop some stuff. I just dropped Do Better Masks. I know the CDC just said that if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask indoors. We'll see where this goes. I think masks in a handful of places are still going to be a reality because there's no way that it's a HIPAA violation to require people to prove that they've been vaccinated. And I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be businesses. I think airlines, stuff like that, are still going to require masks because they can't They can't confirm or they can't prove that someone has been vaccinated or not. So the safety on that is to require people to still wear a mask. So if you're in a situation in which you still have to wear a mask, they are at the store. They're there for a buck. If you need a mask, they're there. $1. It'll get you a mask. It'll be in the mail very soon. That's going to wrap up this week. Thank you for everybody for listening. Shout out to the first time listeners. Shout out to the last time listeners. Appreciate everybody taking the time hanging out with me here. And I'm starting to record a little bit ahead of schedule again, which is always a comfortable place to be as a podcaster. So should be getting on a regular schedule again, and probably going to scoot up in the week a little bit. So I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do that or when it's going to happen, but probably going to move from a Thursday, Friday release up into the week to try to get into the feed earlier instead of battling with the weekend. So we'll see how that shakes out. Hope everybody does well in your bets. Good luck if you're on your way to the casino. Hope to see all of you at Vegas Vacation if you plan on going in June. More on that in coming episodes. On behalf of Mark DeVault, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night. Good luck.